Amen, amen, indeed. Our big kids, are grade 4, 5, 6, are dismissed to their program. Pastor Rebecca has some amazing things for you guys here as well. Oh, sorry, guys. We were all so excited. Oh, man. It was all happening. And now you're here and you got to listen to me. Oh, man. John, can we throw that last slide from that last song up there one last time, just as we pray together here? I want us to just reflect on these words as we lead into exactly what we're talking about here. Father God, we are here. We are ready to study your word. We are ready to step into the things you have for us. And we're going to be talking about the end of the world today. We're going to be talking about what you have taught us about these things. But God, it is not a thing of fear. It is a thing of hope. And it is because Jesus is alive that we can face tomorrow. It is because he is alive that all fear is gone. It is because we know that you hold the future, that life is worth living, that we can walk forward in all of these things, whatever the future holds, wherever you lead these things, and however you will bring it to a conclusion, Jesus, we trust that you are alive, you are in control, and you are at work. And so as we turn to your word this morning, we want to hear, we want to learn, we want to know. Jesus, we pray that you would speak, that we have open hearts and minds to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, we sounded good this morning, choir. Well done, well done. That was exciting to sing those things together. And again, it's almost like Jesus is at work as we plan and prepare these things together to declare those truths as we step into what God has for us this morning. I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 24 today. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to be reading through this whole chapter eventually as we kind of walk through this, but we're going to start at the beginning here. And we're going to step into some very, very heavy things that Jesus is speaking to us. But I want our hearts to be circled around that verse of that song, that these aren't things to be fearful of, that we can walk forward with hope and confidence into the things that Jesus has prepared for us, for the world, for all of those that he has created and what he is doing in our lives. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to start at the beginning here and read to verse 14 as we start, and we'll see how far Jesus takes us this morning. Says this in verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see these things? He asked. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Jesus has taught us how to live. We've looked at how he taught us how to worship. He taught us how to follow. How to love. But Jesus also told us that all of this will end. And he is teaching us how to be prepared for when that time comes. We live like this will go on forever, but Jesus has told us it won't. Do we believe him? Are we ready for the end? God is gracious and powerful, and he is working all things according to his will and his timing. Amen? Amen. This is a powerful and a heavy passage that we are going to be exploring today. and it's something that Jesus actually talked about quite a bit, but it's something that we can sometimes feel uncomfortable talking about in our modern world. But we're coming to the end of this series exploring the teachings of Jesus, the red letter words in our Bibles. And just as a pause, some of us might not be all that familiar. I keep calling it red letter words. We've been saying that for a couple of months now. Some Bibles have the words of Jesus in red. We might not all be familiar with that. I keep saying that, and you're like, what is he talking about? So some Bibles, literally all the words specifically of Jesus are in red to help us identify where those are. Lots of Bibles, that's not the case. It's just black the whole way through, and you're like, what on earth are you talking about? That's what we're talking about. So the words specifically of Jesus that we've been exploring, the teachings specifically of Jesus. So we've been kind of journeying through the Gospel of Matthew specifically, and I hope, as we invited you at the beginning of this, that you've been able to take the time to read through the whole gospel sometime as we've been exploring this. It's really, really important that we do that, because we've been digging deep on each one of these specific teachings as we've been going along, and there is so much richness in the words of Jesus and the things that he taught us about himself, about the world, about his Father, about life and reality and love and relationship. But each of these teachings also don't stand completely on their own independent. Jesus didn't speak these things in a vacuum. They are all a part of each other, and a part of not just the things that he was saying, but also the things that he was doing. The very places that he chose to go, the people that he chose to be with, his miracles and parables, and even just the meals he ate and the towns he visited, it all works and speaks together. It reveals the heart and the nature and the mission of his Father, the purpose of creation and the power of his grace and resurrection. We can't read all of the Bible every day, but if we only ever read little pieces, we can turn Scripture into little bite-sized self-help sayings and not see the power of the whole message that God is speaking. We can skip over things that we find difficult or uncomfortable or unpleasant and just read the little bits we like. Parts that tell us what we want to hear, that confirm what we already think. We have to take the whole. All Scripture is God-breathed, and we must submit ourselves to what he has given us in the whole. Let the Spirit bring it to light for us. Let it work in us and refine us and shape us and mold us in his image. So I want to encourage you and challenge you to take that time if you haven't. It's not too late. The Bible's still good to read, turns out. You don't have to do that just at the beginning of a sermon series. But I want to encourage you to read through the whole Gospel of Matthew. And as we've been walking through these things, you'll now see how they fit in and amongst the different things that Jesus was saying and doing, the people he was walking with. How it helps us to understand more deeply and more clearly what he was trying to help us see. What he was trying to help us understand, to help us embrace. It's been a really amazing and humbling journey walking through these things together. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, this upside down and backwards kingdom. The mission and the call, talking about taking up our cross, talking about giving up everything, what it means to follow him. Jesus had so much to say about what it means to live here, what it means to have relationship with our Father, how we should behave, how we should worship, how we should see others. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be coming kind of to the pinnacle of all of this, through the triumphal entry to the long, dark night and the journey to the cross, the triumph of the resurrection, the ultimate exclamation of the power of God over life and death and sin itself. bringing us forgiveness and freedom, paying the cost and making the way, sanctification and justification and glorification, all accomplished there on that hill above Jerusalem. Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, and His teachings are here for His followers to know what He has done. That He knew what He was going to do and what He means for us to do as we follow Him. Our God saves. Amen? Amen. And all of this is true. And all of this is wonderful. And all of this is so incredible. But there is one more part of the teachings of Jesus where He told us not what He was doing or what we were supposed to do, but where He told us what was going to happen. What is to come. He told us what He was going to do, and He told us quite a lot about it. Jesus talked quite a bit about the end times and the judgment that is to come. But as I said, it can kind of seem odd to talk about it in our enlightened and sophisticated and technologically advanced modern society. We know so very much about so very many things. And talking about the end of the world and a coming judgment feels sometimes naive or silly, alarmist. We've seen too many movies and memes with someone standing on a street corner with a cardboard sign, "The end is near." We've heard too many televangelists pound the pulpit and froth at the mouth as they speak about hellfire and brimstone, and we don't want to seem judgmental or crazy or fatalistic, or maybe not just weird. So we talk about the love of God and the grace of God and the acceptance of God, and all of that is absolutely, unequivocally true. John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but will have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Amen. Jesus did not come to judge, but to save. And we even talk here in our own church often that He didn't come us to just save us for somewhere or sometime else, but for now, for here, today, that we can live in the fullness of the Spirit today. That life is better with Jesus now. We can share the love and joy and hope of the gospel with others today. The gospel isn't just fire insurance for after we die. It makes a difference now. It's about abundant life now. And we believe it and we see it and we're living it here. But that's not it. That's not all. Jesus indeed came not to judge, but He will return as one. And while the hope and joy and freedom and life promised in the incredible message of the gospel is real and true and so incredible, the gospel is not just forgiveness now, it is also the power and holiness of God's presence in eternity. Jesus spoke to us a great deal as well of what is to come at the end of all things too. Matthew chapter 12, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 21, John chapter 5, John chapter 11, John chapter 14, the parable of the bridegroom and the wedding feast, the parable of the sheep and the goats. Jesus had a great deal to say about the future and the end in particular. And here, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, we have the largest and clearest teaching that Jesus has given us about what the future will hold. For the last two chapters before this, Jesus has been debating and arguing and wrestling with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, answering their questions and even asking them some questions. Read this stuff, people. It's a fascinating gospel. You got to look into this thing. And He's wrestling with them, and His heart is so deeply in love with these folks who just will not submit. He wants them to see. And they're wrestling about politics and taxation, marriage and the kingdom of heaven, the greatest commandment, who the Messiah truly is. And he challenges their hypocrisy. Right before this, he talks about the seven woes that he gives to the Pharisees. He's crying out for the hearts of these Pharisees to repent and respond, to see and believe that the Messiah has come, that the one they are waiting for is standing before them. And you can see through all this that Jesus is hurting. He's frustrated. He's sad. He sees the broken hearts of a broken world. He is grieving for his lost children and the hard hearts he sees in front of him. And he turns to leave these stubborn leaders and he begins walking with his disciples. He's leaving Jerusalem. And it's maybe out of this place of hurt and frustration that Jesus speaks to his followers of what is to come. They ask something of an innocent question, and you can see how heavy his heart is because he just unloads this huge teaching on the plans of his Father and what is in store for the world. That all of this cannot continue like this, that his Father will not let things continue like this. Verse 1, Jesus left the temple, having just spoken to these leaders. He's walking away when his disciples come to him and call attention to the buildings. Maybe they weren't with him for all of this. It says they come to him. But were they trying to distract him maybe from the frustration, sadness they saw on his face? Or were they just oblivious to the weight of the things that he had just said to these Pharisees? Regardless, we can see where Jesus' head is at in this moment, because again, he responds with such great weight to their very simple and innocent comment about the beauty of the architecture around them. Jesus leaves the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him and he called attention to the buildings, and Jesus says, "Do you see these things? Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen?" They're maybe even a little bit excited here, intrigued. "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answers them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and even put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down and take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the wilderness, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. And then all the people of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation certainly will not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Amen? This is a massive teaching. And there are so many layers here, but what I want us to see here today is the truth that the end is coming. This world will not continue forever. It's been around for a long time, and our short lives make history feel so far away. The Egyptian queen Cleopatra lived closer to 2024 than to the building of the pyramids. They are older to her than she is to us. They were thousands of years old when Jesus walked the earth. We have seen invincible civilizations rise and fall. Babylon and Assyria, Egypt and ancient Greece, Rome and the Ottomans, France and Britain, cities and buildings older than we can fathom, and we live our lives like they will never end. It seems the world will go on forever, but it will not. We won't. This won't. God is the beginning and he is the end. And no matter how real and permanent all of this seems to us, Jesus is here teaching us that none of this is what it seems. As solid as the world feels to us, all of this exists only at the will of the Father. And it will end at his timing, by his designs, for his purpose and his glory. The universe is not an eternal physical thing. As vast and wondrous and old as it is, the universe is a mechanism to share God's love for for God to share his love with us. It exists that we can live in relationship with him, that his gospel can be known, that this world is not its own thing for its own sake. It all serves the gospel, the message of the love of God. God has begun all things simply that we can know him, and he will bring all things to their rightful end. And so this truth, this teaching, these things that Jesus has told us here should change our whole life and outlook. We can't live like all of this will just continue forever. And we can't pretend our lives are about being as comfortable as possible for as long as possible. Jesus is telling us there's something else that we need to see, something else he wants us to know. And so we have to understand this teaching of Jesus and what he is inviting us to do, how he is calling us to live with this knowledge that God is at work and he is moving toward an ending, and only he knows when that is. Verse 36. But about the day or the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, giving in marriage, marrying, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. The world will end, and we must be ready. This whole message is one of the longest unbroken pieces of teaching we have of Jesus in all the Gospels. It is clearly enormously important to him that we understand this, and should tell us just how real and serious this is. We do not know, and we do not get to know. My God is moving. His hand is moving over the pages of history and the events of the world, in each person's life, and in the movement of nations over the course of centuries. And we can see these things that Jesus described, the birth pains. But we do not know when God will choose to end. People have tried over and over and over again, to disastrous effect, Jim Jones and Halley's Comet cults and 1,000 different books and prophets that have calculated the end of the world and the return of Christ at this date and that date over and over and over again. In the 80s, it was Edgar Wisnant saying that the rapture would be in 1988. He gathered a huge following, wrote all these books, and then actually it was 1989, and then it was 1993, and then it was 1994. And just a decade ago, some of us may remember Harold Camping gathered a following. He calculated that the world would end in 2011. People sold their homes, gave away everything they had, which is another conversation. We talked about that last week. Gave away everything they had. And then actually it was 2012, and then I think it was 2014, and then it kind of fizzled out after that. We've seen it again and again. Watch and be ready. But do not obsess about the wrong thing. Don't get distracted. Jesus wants us to be prepared, but not for our own selfish gain or escapist mentality. To inspire us to the mission of the gospel. It's not about calculating dates and reading tea leaves. It's not about giving up on the world and escaping. It's focusing our attention on the world and on the mission that Jesus has for us. Not hiding away in a bunker, but bringing the hope of Jesus to the lives of others. Stepping right into the middle of the mess with boldness and confidence, love and grace. Call is not to hide away, but to go into all the world. And if we don't, Jesus was deadly serious about that too. To these who would hide and run, wash their hands of the world and their neighbors, Jesus has some strong words for them. Verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And then begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is some of the strongest language that Jesus uses in all the Gospels. And through chapter 25, we're not going to go through all of that, but he goes through three separate parables that describe that exactly. And it's not aimed at those sinners out there or somewhere else. He's not talking about someone else. It's pointed directly at me, at us. His followers, the people who would say our lives are wholly and fully about him. He says to me and to you, if you are following me, then now you know what is coming. I have told you, and so you must do what I have told you to do. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. Like sheep among wolves, go bring the radical love and power of the presence and message of Jesus to people who need to hear what he has done for them. Because this is going to end. It's all going to be over. Sell it all, give it all up to give our lives wholly to the message of Jesus. We can all get caught up in signs. There's whole TV stations and YouTube channels dedicated to the end times with endless hours of speculation and interpretation of every headline and political agenda. And Jesus tells us that all these things are birth pains of the kingdom of God coming into the world. We do need to be watchful, but we cannot be distracted from what Jesus has called us to do. So next Sunday, we celebrate Palm Sunday as we walk toward the events of Easter, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, where he has proven to us, as he came alive again, that every single word he has spoken is true. And as we do, we read this passage and hear his message to us, this world will not last forever. And our job is not to help make it carry on. We are here as his servants, empowered by his Spirit, equipped with his gospel to bring the message of repentance and salvation, new life for all who would turn to him and receive his grace, that we can walk together with our Creator in the fullness he intended from the beginning. Do you hear the call of Jesus? Do we see the world like he is describing it here to us? Do we feel the urgency that he clearly shows us? Do we believe what he has told us? We do not know God's timing, but the end is coming, and he has called us to work with him to bring his message to the world. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Jesus, we read these words. We thank you for what you have spoken to us here. These things can be uncomfortable. These things can be difficult to understand. These things can be difficult to embrace. But Jesus, help us to see and to know the truth of what you are saying. That this world is not the eternal, solid, physical thing that it feels like. But you have created all of this by your hand, by your will, for your purposes. It is here, all of this, the whole universe is here that we can know relationship with you, that you can share your love with us. But Father God, we know and trust too that you will bring all of this to a conclusion, at your timing, by your will, for your purposes and your glory. And so help us to live not like we need to be as comfortable as we can for as long as we can, but help us to live with the urgency of the message of the gospel. Urgency of the hope of Jesus, that all of this is about relationship with you. Help us to bring that message in real and practical ways into the lives of the people around us, lives of people that don't see, don't know. They are trying to last forever. But God, you are the only way we will have eternal life. So Father, forgive us where we have ignored this truth. Forgive us where we have hidden away from this mission. Fill us with a passion to live like you are the only thing that matters. To live like you will bring all of this to an end and we don't know when. Help us to know that urgency, to bring the love of Jesus and the message of Jesus into the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.